I talked to a friend last night who is a Christian friend, and he was very upset that I no longer believe the way he believes and the way that I suppose I once believed. And I tried to explain to him that it wasn't that I walked away from God. It was that I was trying to walk closer to God. I won't go into all the details about why I'm not no longer considering myself a Christian. As far as if the true definition of Christian is to be a follower of Jesus, then I am a huge Christian. Because I do believe that Brother Jesus taught me a lot. And I've said it before, I still to this day believe that he is my savior in many ways. But I also believe that Buddha, Confucius, countless others, I can name them all. Even philosophers, I believe that they're my saviors. Jesus is my savior because no matter if those are his exact words or not, whoever wrote the words and read, those words touched me deeply and showed me a way out of the darkness and towards light, how to do my best to help and love others and to help and love myself. And so I will always believe that he is my savior. But I walked away at first from the, I walked away because of the church. And eventually I walked away from the book itself because I didn't agree with a lot of things in the book. And I tried explaining this to my friend last night, and he said, well, that's not good because, you know, if you don't believe in the book, then, you know, you're doomed to hell. And it's like, well, that's one man's opinion. Not just yours, not just his opinion. It's anybody's opinion that actually believes that. And when it all boiled down to it, when I, you know, took a deep breath and looked into it, that's all everything is. It's all just another man's opinion. I have an audio about opinions, and you can hear that about how I feel about opinion. Every man has an opinion, and that's what basically everything that we do in this life, when we believe somebody else or just believing their opinion. I think there's a lot of good things in the Bible. I think there's a lot of good things that show how we can be as human beings moral and ethical and loving and at times hypocritical and judgmental, but in good ways. Unfortunately, those lessons are construed in different ways by many different paths of religion, and they use them to their own advantage. I do not believe that Jesus Christ, his blood, is what saved us. So my discussion with my friend was, you know, I understand why you're upset that I'm no longer, quote-unquote, a Christian by your standards, but you have to recognize the fact that I am now closer to the all, the being, the it, the unforeseen, the unseen, the beginning, the end, the alpha, the omega, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, I am now closer to it than I ever have been in my life, knowingly at least. I mean, for all I know, and I do believe that it's been there since the beginning, but I just didn't turn around and look. But without believing that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross for me, my friend could not accept that. And it saddens, because this friend knows that before I, quote unquote, came to Christ, I was an atheist. I guess I believed in God, and I was an agnostic, if anything. I believed in God because I feared God, because I I figured as bad as I was, I knew where I was going. I used to tell people when I walked in that faith that, you know, some people turn to God for beauty, and some people turn to God because they can feel the heat. And I guess in a way that was me. But that was guilt. That was inside guilt and hatred of who and what I was, and I needed a way out. And so I thought Christianity was it. And it definitely helped. It definitely helped me understand that I shouldn't. See, that's another good thing about opinions, is that we all read things with our own opinion. My opinions didn't always agree with other Christians or pastors or even church fathers or Paul or any of those people. My opinion of how I read that book and what things that Jesus may have said, how they read to me, helped me understand what my guilt was. The unfortunate part is that I find that many people that read that book now and hold it as God's word, they think that they're supposed to feel guilty at all times for their sin, and that's not what it's supposed to be. If you just want to feel guilty about your sin, you don't need that book. You can just walk around in everyday life and feel guilty, because that's all we do. The church institutionalized guilt. They made guilt a thing. They took something that mankind already had, and they preached it, and they made everybody feel terrible. I didn't believe, well, I may have believed in a hell, or I may have believed in, hey, you know, this, I fear God because I know where I'm going. But I didn't believe in the miracles and the things that I see every day that, to me, proves that there's something else. I had no thoughts on the matter. I didn't care. I was and I still am a miserable sinner. And I hope openly admitted it then, and I openly admit it now. I am at peace with myself for now, more than I ever have been. I am thankful more than I ever have been, because I've been shown the things that I've been given. And I'm talking from seeing a flower sprouting out of the ground on a mid-50s day, to actually feeling breath in my lungs, to having a roof over my head and gas money in my pocket. I am shown that I'm thankful. I should be thankful. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I don't know who it is. I don't know how it works. I don't know any of it. I don't know. For all I know, there is a hell and a heaven, and I could still be going to hell. I don't know. I can't prove your religion is wrong any more than I could prove that Islam is wrong. But that's where it came down to me, for me, was I couldn't figure out who was right. I read the religions. People said, don't read those other books. That's the devil's work. It's funny because all those other religions said the same thing about your book. If maybe you all got together and just tried to live, coexist, like that sticker says, maybe people would come to religion more freely. They would pick a side or pick a doctrine that they believed in. But instead, you go around, you judge each other. It's silly because when you read those other books, those other Bibles, those other religious creeds, they all say the same thing. You just have different names, all it is. It's all just opinions. That's what I kept telling my friend. I said, you know, I'll never say to another person, if a person walks up to me and says, oh, should I want to find out more about God, should I go to church? I will never say to them, don't go to church. I'll say, go to church. Go experience what church is like. But don't just take everything that comes into you, that you hear in your ears, as fact. Study it. The biggest problem with a lot of the churches is that 6 days a week you live your life, and then on the seventh day you go to church, you hear what the pastor says, which is his opinion of the scripture, because the way he reads it and the way he delivers it that day is he works out his sermon on based on his opinion of how it is, or based on the opinions of the scholars that taught him in seminary school. Either way, what I'm getting at is, it's not your opinion. It is important for anybody, no matter what church they go to, no matter what religion they're going to, that they read it for themselves. The problem that I found a lot of people do is that they just go and they hear the sermon and they go home. My friend agreed with that. He knows that's a problem. And it's not just a problem in Christianity, because I went to other religions, there was a problem with that too. But what it all boils down to is, it's just another man's opinion. A clear point on that in the Christian Bible alone is just by reading the words of Paul and then flipping the pages and reading the words of James, and you will see a contradicting story, because it is two men giving their opinion. Now, in a way, you could say, well, okay, even the red letters, and that's just Jesus giving his opinion. True, it is. I agree with his opinion. I'm not saying don't listen to another man's opinion. I'm saying hear it out and then figure out your own opinion on the matter and see if it aligns with somebody else. My opinion aligns with the words of Jesus in red, not the words that somebody else said, words that he supposedly said. And then it slides over to James. I agree with James. My opinion is what James says. I do not believe in Paul. I don't believe that Brother Paul was... I at one time was a conspiracy nut and thought that Paul, you know, started a religion for control and blah, blah. I don't believe that's what it was, but I believe that Paul, his opinion, in his own opinion, mistook what Jesus meant. Because when you compare what Paul says to what Jesus said, they are completely the opposite of each other. I believe that Brother Paul took his opinion, took some of Jesus' words, but took his opinion, ran with it. And then after he died, some bunch of guys just ran with his opinions. They didn't think for themselves. There are church fathers that thought for themselves after Paul had died and gave their opinions of what they thought, and they were either excommunicated or burned at the stake. Christianity is a Paulinian religion. It's a religion made by Paul or Saul, whatever you want to call them. It has groundwork and some basis in Jesus, but when you go to church every Sunday, and my friend agreed with this, you hear Paul, you hear the epistles, you hear the letters, you hear something that has to do with Paul. I went to church for years. I went to different churches for years. I didn't just go to one church. I went to three different churches at one time, and I hardly ever heard anything from the Beatitudes, maybe a verse. I ever, you know, nothing. I just heard opinion and Paul. I'm not going to get off on that whole subject right now. What I'm getting at is that it's all just one man's opinion. This is what I try to explain to my brother. I love all the Christians that I met, I love them all still to this day. Some of them I talk to and some of them I don't talk to. Some of them I don't talk to because unfortunately their opinion is so strong that whenever I do talk to them, all they want to do is condemn me to hell. They say they feel bad for me and they love me, but they want to condemn me to hell. I have no time for that. No matter if you're remorseful of it or not, I have no time for that type of negativity in my life. Because my God, my all, has given me too many things to be positive about and too many things to see to understand that positivity, to sit around and wait for doom and gloom. Then I have other brothers and sisters that I talk to that I haven't openly lied to them, but I haven't openly told them the complete truth of what I believe anymore. Because I'm an open book. I'm a microphone. I allow all different voices to be spoken into me, and I'm willing to hear them all out. Therefore, I don't believe that I have to get in an argument when three of my Christian friends are talking about Jesus. I don't believe that I have to get in an argument and give my opinion unless they ask for my opinion. Most of them don't, because I believe that they know what my opinion will be. But pretty much, I won't say I've been abandoned by them, but pretty much a strong base of my Christian friends are gone because of what I've decided was for me and what wasn't. There's just, it seems funny to me that anybody would, this brother that I talked to, he's a good friend, and I believe he'll be praying for me until the day he goes or the day I go. And I have another brother that's like that who I haven't expressed all this to just yet, and I imagine he'll do the same. I believe he'll still talk to me, but the sad part is that some people will totally give up on you because you no longer believe the way they believe, but you still believe. I still believe. I still believe that there's something, but I don't know what it is. And to me, from where I came from before Christianity to where I am now, that's big. It saddens me to think that people would push others away because they don't want to believe in what they believe or another man's opinion or their own opinion, and so they push them people away. And unfortunately in religion that happens with people and their family and everything. I was married to a woman that was literally disowned because she decided to walk away from their beliefs. I don't know if she ever got back into it. I've never had that conversation with her, but if she did, I hope that she did it because of her own free will. I pray that she didn't do it because of the pressure of it. Because I do have Christian friends that will, every other day, text me or something. Jesus still loves you. He's still waiting for you to come back. Well, where am I going back to? If Jesus was to bring me closer to God, mission accomplished. Because his words brought me closer to God. One of my favorite quotes that I've read in the last couple of years is, I know nothing of the mysteries of God, but I know of the misery of man. And I believe it was Blaise Pascal that said that. I know nothing of the mysteries of God, but I know of the misery of man. And that's all I know. I tried studying to try to find the right God. I studied ancient religions. I studied current religions because, folks, that's what Christianity is. It's a current religion. It's only 2,000 years old, and we've been here a lot longer than that. Whether you like to believe that or not, we have been, and people have had religion since the Stone Age. So, I studied all these ancient things. I studied ancient thought. I studied, philosophical thought, and that was a lot. That was the one that kind of got me was, I had bought a book called, it was kind of like a dummy's book. It was one of those books about, it was a book about philosophy, about different philosophical thought from different philosophers throughout time, current and old. And I remember when I bought it, I had it in my van, and my Christian friends would see it, and they would be like, you shouldn't be reading that. And all I could ever think about when somebody would tell me, you can't read that, or you can't read this, or you can't read that, is I never had any interest at all in reading any of this stuff, religious or philosophy or about life or about how we grew. I had no interest in studying anything except for unless it served me generally. That was it. I had to imagine, I had to know, I had to understand that if I now have a passion not only for reading but for answering the question why. Because I became like a child. I was asking why for everything. And I took that as a cue, as be like a child. I took that as a cue. And so I wanted to know why. Because children are curious and they want to know why, so they try to find out. And so that's what I did. And so by reading these other books, if you say that's the devil's work or I'm going to hell because I read these other books, from what I can only imagine that the Creator gave me or woke up inside of me because I wasn't willing to wake it up, was my curiosity, my logical thinking, my critical thinking, my search for knowledge. Not so much wisdom, not so much even knowledge that's going to change the world, but just something to learn. That has to be from it. It has to be. I studied all this stuff. Now, when I say I studied it, I'm talking about I read this and I read that. If I had a dime for every book that I actually read from front to back, I would have probably about 40 cents. But I did read the Bible. I read the holy books. I read all the holy books. And what I learned from reading all these religions, ancient and current, is they all say the same thing. It's all based on the golden rule. If you take all, even in the Quran, if you take all the other writers out, just like in the Bible, if you take all the other writers out and only focus on what either Muhammad or Jesus say, same thing with Buddha. Buddhism isn't even a religion, but they think it is because of all these guys that came after Buddha and made it into a religion, just like they did in the Bible and just like they did in the Quran and just like they've done in other, Zoroaster and all of them. They added to it. They brought their opinions into it. But if you look at the core messages of what whoever is being followed or whoever is considered a deity in those books, they all say the same thing. It's the golden rule. Do unto others what you would want done upon yourself. Or in Confucius's way, Confucius does it backwards and says, don't do unto others what you wouldn't want done unto yourself. So either way, it's saying the same thing. Many of them said it thousands, you know, Confucius said it 600 years before Jesus was even around. Zoroaster said it 1,000 years before that. I mean, it goes throughout time. And it makes sense. It still makes sense to this day. And I wish people would understand that. Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's simple. But instead, we built religions around it. We built creeds around it. And by doing so, in my opinion, we built hatred and guilt and judgment. And these are all based on another man's opinion. If I'm going to hell because I no longer believe in your creed, then so be it. If God has granted me anything, it's the knowledge to understand that my opinion is all that really matters. Not that my opinion should matter to you. Not that you have to take what I say as literal word, but that my opinion is my opinion, and my soul, my being, my mind, my heart and body and soul should all be into that opinion. If he has given me anything, it is that. If I am guilty according to one man's creed or another, because I'm not following it in a certain way, but I'm only following my opinion, so be it. I'm no worse off now than I was before I found God. And I hate using that term, found God. But I'm no worse off than I was before when I was a more miserable sinner than I already am, or currently am, and will be until the day I go. Because I was given introspection. I was given understanding. I was given conviction. I was given conviction and introspection to understand that when I'm being a hypocrite, or when I'm judging others, or when I've made a mistake, or I've quote-unquote sinned, and it wasn't the right way of doing things. I sin every day, but I only feel convicted. Say I sin 10 times a day, I only feel convicted on one or two of them. And those one or two that I'm convicted on, and I go back and I look at and I introspect it myself, I find that they're, it's not that they're out of the Bible sins, it's that they're universal sins. They're universal things, universal law that goes against the laws of the universe or against the laws of ethics and morals. And then I should learn from that and try to do better. I am thankful that religion came into my life because it brought me to other things that have empowered my mind and the way I act and react. More importantly, how I react. And I believe that is God. I believe understanding that through my sinning, I'm breaking a universal law, or I'm bending it or doing something, and I'm doing it for my own service to self, and it will affect my service to others. I believe that I owe that in a way to religion, because I never cared about anybody before. I never cared about feelings. I didn't care what anybody thought. And I still don't. I still don't, in a way. What's more important is that I care about it. I don't care about what others think. I care about what I think. I never had that before. I never cared what I did, and I never sat there and said, oh man, I can't believe you screwed that up. I don't do that now. I don't sit here and make myself feel guilty. See, that's what I did when I was in religion. I was taught to feel guilty about everything I did. Now I don't. I feel remorse, and there's a difference. There's a big difference. Guilt will bring you down. Remorse will build you, help you rebuild. Help you understand the conviction of remorse is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The conviction of guilt is a man-made system. I used to see people crying in church, begging God for forgiveness. And it was something, it would be something small, whatever it may be, just begging. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. That's guilt. That's one man's opinion on how you're supposed to feel. And you taking it for what it is, his opinion, making it your own. Taking his truth and making it your own truth. I don't believe that's what we're supposed to do. I can't believe that's what we're supposed to do. Let me rephrase it one more time. I refuse to believe that's what we're supposed to do. A lot of my friends that are in Christianity, they'll tell you, first when you start to become a Christian, a lot of folks will tell you, well, just read John. Don't read anything else. Read John first. The reason they do that to you is because John was ridden during the church days. I'm not going to sit here and try to prove it to you or anything like that. You have to do your own studying. But John doesn't have anything to do. John doesn't look anything like the three other Gospels. It was written at a later date. The other three Gospels have certain details that match up closely. John was written later. And John is not Jesus orientated, it is church orientated. And that's why everybody is told to read John first. And then there's the problem where they'll tell you, don't read the Old Testament. Save that for later on. We'll go over that in Bible study. Don't read it for yourself, because they don't want you to form your own opinion if you read it yourself. They want to read it to you and then give you their opinion of what it matters, which will be be made to sound like all of it is okay because, you know, in the opinion of the church, it was justified. And what I'm getting at is, I don't believe it is. I don't believe a lot of it is. I have no problem with anybody going to a church. I would tell anybody, go to church. If you are trying to seek something higher, then go to a church. But remember that it is just another man's opinion. The reason I brought up the whole Old Testament thing was because, just like the John thing and just like, you know, the letters of Paul and all that, they don't want you to know certain things. So what I was getting at was, I would ask every single one of my Christian friends, and I do know that my brother that I talked to last night and the other brother that will eventually hear this or hear me say it to him, I do know that he knows the insides and outsides of front to cover or front to back. But at the same time, they only know the front and back of the Protestant Bible. They don't know the Bible of the Catholics. So there's another story, you know, like, oh, we got to take all these books out because they're not really written by God. One man's opinion. And that's all provable by Martin Luther, who created Protestantism and decided that certain books of the Bible had to come out of the Catholic Bible because he didn't believe that they were true words of God, or they were written at a later time and blah, 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 blah. And so a whole different sect of Christianity had begun. And the problem with that is that's just one man's opinion. Just because Martin Luther says that those books aren't real without any kind of factual evidence, and there's still no factual evidence, that's just his opinion. No other way you can look at it. It was his opinion at that time that those books weren't real. And you can prove, I can prove that just by his opinion of the book of James and how he wanted to remove the book of James. It was his opinion that James was speaking heresy. What I'm getting at is, you have to understand that everything is opinion in life and in religion. And this is what I tried to tell my brother last night. The core of this whole message, though, is what the core of the message was that I was trying to explain to him. Do you not understand, or do you not believe that by me being a man of no faith at all, but now having a faith, but unable to explain to you what that faith is in, or be able to explain what that being, that thing that I believe in is, makes me the same as I was before I had any kind of faith at all? How can you tell somebody? And that's my argument for my friends that are atheists and agnostics, because I was once like them. I mean, I literally used to pick up Bibles at Barnes & Noble's, take them out of the religious section, and put them in the science fiction section. I was kicked out of a Barnes & Noble's in Hyannis, Massachusetts for that exact reason. I went from that to believing, but because I, because I don't believe, or I'm not willing to go down and drink the blood of Christ and eat the flesh of Christ, which is, by the way, a cracker and grape juice. Why not drink real blood, I mean, if you believe it? Because I refuse to believe Paul's opinion or the church opinion of all the other father or all the other early church fathers. Because I refuse to believe that Jesus Christ, you know, died for me, which is the big one. I also don't believe in the Trinity. I never did. I thought I did at one time, but then I realized, no, that doesn't say it any place in here. Clearly not in there. And I know that certain brothers will tell me, oh, brother, you got to read this book. It proves it right here. No, brother, it's just another man's opinion of how it proves it. It doesn't prove it anymore. I've read those books. I was given those books by my brothers. And I read those. And it doesn't prove it. It's just another man's opinion. It's just another man taking verses and changing them around to fit his prerogative and his opinion. I'm not saying he's doing it in ill will. I'm saying that he's just taking his opinion, just like any other man will. But it's up to us to decide whether we're going to believe that man's opinion. Or whether, it's not even whether we believe it, whether we're willing to accept it as our own opinion. Am I willing to take another man's truth as my own? No, I am not. Am I willing to hear the opinions of others, think about them, and form my own opinion? Yes. Yes, I definitely am. And that's why I believe, and I have faith in something, as compared to when I had faith in nothing. So unfortunately, I'm condemned by people that I think some of them as family and some as friends, I'm condemned because my faith in something is of no importance or value if it is not faith in something that someone else held faith in. That's not right. That's not good. That's definitely not the golden rule. I do believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he died for all of us, but I believe that he died as a martyr, just as many martyrs before him and martyrs after him died. They died for the people to have a voice, to be heard, to give a different version, to try to show that there's another way. There are many other ways that we don't have to continue killing ourselves over land or resources. I believe Jesus was a martyr, a revolutionary, a brother that was trying his best to help see, help teach and let others see that there was other ways. I don't believe, in my own opinion, that the father that he talked about was the father of the religion that he studied and was raised in. I believe he was speaking of something else. That's just my opinion. And I ask that you respect it like I respect your opinion. Treat others how you want to be treated. Read the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to be a true Christian, quote unquote true Christian, because I've heard that many a times when I tell people that I'm no longer a Christian, that I was never a quote unquote true Christian. If you want to be that, read the words in red and practice it every day. And I'm not saying by any means or standards that I do, because I don't. My cross is heavy and I hardly ever try to pick it up. But form your own opinion off the words that Jesus said. And I'm talking about the words that he said in all books, not just Martin Luther's opinionated version of the books. And when you can do that, come back and tell me if I'm a true Christian or not. I love you. I love whatever God may be. I love Jesus for what he taught me. I love Buddha for what he taught me. I love Krishna. I love Allah. I love all of them. They all taught me something. And that is to realize that we can do better, not only for ourselves, but for others. Live like the dog. Be thankful.